So would you guys give it up for Pastor R.C. Jeffcoat?
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, let's try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, that's a little better. It's a little better. I am extremely honored and humbled by the invitation that was extended by your pastor to come and stand before you on today. At our church in 2000, I'll go back to 2013, December 31st, 2013, God gave me our final sermon of 2013, was "You will fight and you will win." And 2014, we found ourselves as a congregation fighting many things. I'll be honest with you. Some of it was extremely painful. We saw an increase in attendance in the early part of the year. But around the middle part of the year, people just began to walk out and away from God. And about November time frame, God gave me the message that the fight is over. And to everybody else, it looked like we had lost. But I remember that Sunday vividly. It wasn't but three people there. And that was one of the best services that we had all year. And so 2015, God gave us new marching orders and said, it's time to build for the kingdom. And so I realized that there are some folk who started out with us in 2013 were unable to go with us to where God is taking us in 2015. That sometimes you have to lose some stuff in order to gain what God has for you. I don't know why I started that way. But I do know that I hear the word grow in my spirit once again this morning. And so I'm thinking about as preachers, sometimes we get messages and sometimes we often think it's for them. But really it's for us. And so with the invitation to come to Gateway this morning, God was just reminding me that I'm growing you, taking you to places that you've never been before. Letting you stand before people who have never seen you before. And so what I love about God is God really doesn't care about your social, economic background, color of your skin. He just cares if you have a willing heart to do his will. And so when Pastor Tim called me and said, hey, brother, I want you to come and speak. I said, well, when? He said, well, can you do both? I said, sure. I don't mind. And has anybody ever jumped at something at first and then once you thought about it, you said, oh, what did I get myself into? As the weeks went by and the dates got closer, I began to question, Lord, what have I gotten myself into? But I'm glad to be here this morning. I like to kind of take my time, get some preliminary stuff out the way. Y'all saw my wife, but I'm going to ask her to stand. She's wearing sunglasses because she had the LASIK or the, not LASIK, but PRK surgery on her eyes. And sometimes the bright lights causes her eyes to hurt. But I'm glad that she's here with us this morning. Y'all just keep looking over at her to make sure her head's not bobbing. I also have my little goddaughter with me. Say hello, London. Wait, can you wave? Can you wave? All right. And then we have two of our members with us, Sister Hood and her grandson, Darnell. Y'all wave. Normally, before I preach, I would have my wife to sing a little bit. But I think today we'll just go straight to the Word of God. Well, there you go. We'll have her sing then, my beautiful bride, Katina Jeffcoat.
I'm sorry, I have a cornea tear in this. The lights are just hurting. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory. Honor and power unto the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty. The Lord our God is omnipotent. The Lord our God, He is wonderful. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory. Honor and power unto the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty. The Lord our God is omnipotent. The Lord our God, He is wonderful. All praises be to the King of Kings and the Lord our God. He is wonderful. All praises be to the King of Kings and the Lord our God. He is wonderful. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty. The Lord our God is omnipotent. The Lord our God, He is wonderful. All praises be to the King of Kings and the Lord our God. He is wonderful. All praises be to the King of Kings and the Lord our God. He is wonderful. Hallelujah. 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 He is wonderful. Hallelujah. 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 And the Lord our God, He is wonderful. All praises be to the King of Kings. And the Lord our God, He is wonderful. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He is wonderful. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Now I can give the benediction. But we certainly, once again, give all honor and praise to God our Father, to Jesus our Savior, and to the Holy Ghost, our Comforter and our Guide, to Pastor Tim, who has such a kind spirit and such an easy disposition. I am glad that I have had the pleasure and the opportunity to meet him. It's funny that he says I was before him, because this past week I was thinking, I think that was Tim who patted me on the shoulder and said, "Man, you did a good job." And I was thinking to myself, I think that was Tim. And to his lovely bride, who I got a chance to meet, Carrie, is that right? Got a chance to meet Carrie. To all you, my sisters and brothers in Christ, a few things about me. I am a Southern. I was raised in a Baptist church. I come from a long line of Baptist preachers. My grandfather was a preacher. He's got three brothers that were preachers. My father was a preacher. He had a brother that was a preacher. My father, who had three boys, I am the oldest. My youngest brother is a preacher and a pastor. The youngest boy is a preacher and assistant pastor. And I am a preacher and a pastor. There were two things that I said that I never wanted to do growing up. And that was to join the Air Force and be a preacher. And I end up doing them both. But I will tell you that I came kicking and screaming into the ministry. I said, anybody who would want to stand in front of people where they would judge everything from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet is out their mind. And God said, hello, out your mind. And so, I don't mind. As a matter of fact, I don't mind if you say amen. I don't mind a little noise in the church. I like to tell people, the more you say amen, the faster I will go. But if you get quiet on me, I might hit, that might, it signals to me that you're maybe not getting the point, and I may have to stay there just a little while longer. Amen. 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 I like to tell people all the time, I don't preach long, I just preach necessary. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I know that you do, because I've seen anybody that worships like you guys worship have to be rooted in the Word of God. I'd like for you to go with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. I'm not going to read the entire text. I really just want to read the first verse. But I'd like for you to kind of keep your Bibles open, because we're going to address some certain things in this text. 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. If you got it, say amen. Amen. If you don't, say hold on. All right. It says, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper." Once again, "Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given him, had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but," everybody say but, "he was a leper." I just want to talk for just a little while, you know, from this subject, if you had to tag it or put a title on it: simplicity of God's grace. The simplicity of God's grace. Grace is one of my favorite words in all of the Bible, because if I was honest with you, if it wasn't for grace, I wouldn't be here on today. I can't speak for nobody else. I can only speak for R.C. Jeffcoat II. I know what grace has done for me. I know that grace woke me up this morning. Yeah, it was grace that started me on my way. It was grace that brought me, and it's grace that's keeping me. Grace is such a marvelous word, such a marvelous thing. It's almost indescribable when you think about it. It's hard to really comprehend grace. The fact of the matter is, the world really doesn't understand grace. Oh, come on, somebody. You got some friends in your life right now who knew you way back when. Come on. And they look at your life now and they don't understand the transformation that has taken place in your life. And if you wanted to sum it up, all you would say is, it is nothing but grace. It's only by grace that you're able to look in your past and continue to live in your present. Grace is one of those things that the world really can't grab a hold of, that they really can't understand. Because how is it that you used to be so bad and terrible, and now you used to hold your head down, and now you're able to walk around knowing what you did with a smile on your face and able to worship God in a special way? Come on. Yeah. It's only by God's grace. But grace is a simple thing that we as human beings make really hard, that we really make difficult in life. I mean, when you think about it, grace is really simple. We all know the word of God. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's really a simple thing. But somehow or another, we always feel like we got to do more to it, that we have to add something to it in order for us to get God's acceptance. Maybe that's why God took grace out of our hands. I wish I had a witness in here. Maybe that's why he's the one who can only extend grace in a real and meaningful way. Yeah, it's only by God's grace that we're here today. And when you look at this story, I love this story of Naaman, because Naaman is not a believer at the beginning of chapter 5. Yeah, he's not a believer. He's not a believer. Everybody say he's not a believer. He's not a believer at the beginning of chapter 5. But by the time God's grace gets a hold of Naaman, yeah, he changes his language. He utters the words, "Now I know that your God is the only real God. Only grace can do that." Naaman starts off as a general. He's a man of great prestige. He's a man who every man or every young man wants to be, because he's the 5-star general. Yeah. He's the hero. And everybody loves the hero. Come on, somebody. Yeah, everybody wants to be the hero. I mean, somebody in here grew up wanting to be Superman. My hero was Captain America. I had the underoos and all. I grew up wanting to be Captain America. Why? Because Captain America was the great American hero. And Naaman is the great Syrian or Armenian hero. He has accomplished great things, but what I like about it is the Bible says that the only way that Naaman has been successful is simply because God has allowed it. Now, when you don't just run past that verse, because that tells me that God is in control of all things, whether people know him or not. I wish I had a witness in here. Sometimes we look past folk who don't know God and they're accomplishing great things, and then we want to throw them to the side, not realizing that God still has his hands on their lives. Yeah. Naaman was able to accomplish great things simply because God had picked him out to do the things that he wanted him to do. But there was one thing about Naaman that none of us really ever wanted. Yeah, the Bible says he was great and a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Yeah, everybody in here has a but. Everybody in here has a but. I don't care how saved you are. I don't care how filled with the Holy Ghost you are. Everybody in here has something that they don't want nobody else to know about. I think I got to come down here. Everybody, I didn't say Pastor Tim was excluded. I said everybody has something. You may not know it, but everybody has something. Oh, you can just be honest with you, because if you don't be honest, I'm going to come and get you sooner or later. But the Bible says he was a leper. It was an incurable disease. Have you ever asked yourself, "Lord, why is it that you never take this particular sin out of my life?" Oh, come on, somebody. I mean, I know we preach deliverance, but there's always seem like that one thing that the devil knows how to push your button. I got a few witnesses over. Maybe let me come over here, because it's time kind of quiet. There's always something that you are dealing with that you don't want nobody else to know. Lord, I've been struggling. Paul puts it like this. I prayed 3 times for the Lord to remove this thorn. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient. Because if I take it away from you, your head might get too big. Doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem fair that you know who God is, you know his power, you know his strength, and yet you still have to deal with this issue. Doesn't seem fair, does it? Doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem like that ought to be the way that it ought to be. But there are some times in your life that God will leave certain things in your life just to test your faith. Naaman was a great man, but he was a leper. Now, in Judaism, we all know that they separated their lepers. But here, Naaman is—he's the 5-star general. He's still walking around talking to folk, and everybody wanted to be Naaman until they found out he was. I found out a long time ago that I got to stop looking at other folks and saying I want to be them without looking at the butt. You think about some of our most famous people in the world. I look at some of our most famous people in the world. You look at a person like Kurt Cobain, one of the greatest rockers of all time. But he never really could accept fame. Couldn't accept fame. His greatest thing, his greatest blessing, his greatest attribute was a blessing and a curse. The great Marvin Gaye used to have his cocaine dealer on one side of his dressing room and his pastor on the other side of his dressing room. He was a great man, but sometimes we want to be certain people without realizing some of the demons that they are dealing with. Naaman was a great man, but If we're honest, he was in an unenviable position. Nobody really wanted to have leprosy. I mean, how many in here would tell God, God would say, you could have $1 million, but you got to have the 3rd stage of colon cancer? Some people might say, give me $1 million, I'll enjoy it while I can. But everybody in here has something that they're dealing with. And what I like about this story is, when you read the text, it goes on to say that the Syrians, in verse 2, had gone out on raids and had brought back a captive young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. In verse 3, she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Now, this is part of the story where the story begins to turn a little bit. Because although Naaman is in an unenviable position, he gets an unsolicited suggestion. Isn't that how grace worked with you? You were deep in your sins and somebody said, oh, if you could just make it to Gateway Fellowship. Oh, I know you're dealing with this problem, but if you could just make it to church on Sunday. It was unsolicited. Isn't it funny how grace worked? We don't really see it coming. It came from probably someone that you never heard before or seen before, but somehow, some way, they had thought enough of you to say, you know what, if you could just get down to the church house, there's an answer for you. I love this little girl. I love her because, one, she's a prisoner. She's in slavery. She's in bondage. And sometimes you got to look at what's not said in the text. Because the little girl simply says, oh, if you could get to the prophet in Samaria. What I like about grace, oftentimes grace is so good to you that you can't help to be good to somebody else. Look at this girl is a prisoner, and nowhere in the text do you see the girl saying, if you let me go. I mean, I'm your slave, but if you let me go, I'll put in a good word for you with the prophet. Oh, this girl's not caring about her life. She's just looking at her master dealing with his issue. Oh, I came to talk to somebody, because somebody in here, if you was like me, you would have been sitting in that position saying, I'm your slave and you think I'm going to help you? You torment me, you took me away from my family, and you expect me to help you? Oh, we can be honest. Some of us got bosses right now who get on our last nerve. And we won't utter one word about if. Come on, somebody. Yeah, somebody probably may have said, boy, if you was on fire, I wouldn't spit on you to put you out. And yet here we see this little girl who knows God, who knows the power of God. And what she says is something that's really strange to me. She said, if you could get to the prophet. Why? Because she realizes that the prophet is in line with God. See, even at her little young mind, she only thing she knows is, I've been to church and I've been a witness of great miracles at my church. I've seen the power of God. And if you could just get to the prophet, I think everything will be all right. Look at what this little girl does. I mean, it bothers me when I first read it. I said, how come this little girl ain't saying, if you just let me go? I want to go home. She's not even thinking about her little life. I mean, doesn't she miss her little brothers and sisters? Doesn't she miss her parents? And yet, she looks up at her master, sees him dealing with some type of issue, and says, you know, I believe God can heal you. No thought of her own self. And often inside of God's family, we got too many selfish Christians. I'm going to get mine before you get yours. But what I found out is that when you hooked up with the master and God is deep down on the inside of you, that you stop thinking about yourself. I put it like this. There's a story of a little girl who was in Sunday school and was riding home with her parents. And her parents said, what'd you learn today? She said, we learned that God is everywhere. They said, you did? We also learned that God is on the inside of us. And they said, wow, that's an amazing fact. But the girl said, there's something that I'm having issues with. I don't understand if God is everywhere, yet he can be on the inside of me. How can little old me contain such a big God like that? He's bound to slip out every now and then. Oh, yeah, come closer. If you got God on the inside of you, sooner or later, he's going to slip out. He's bound to slip out of you at some point in time. I like to tell folk all the time, whatever's on the inside is going to come out. Oh, yes, it will. Oh, yeah, if you ain't been delivered from cursing yet, yeah. Let someone hit you in your ankle the wrong way. Let someone cut you off in traffic at the wrong time. It's bound to come out. It's bound to come out. And I just believe this young girl is kind of like this quote that I found by Brennan Manning. He says, look, my trust in God flows out of the experience of his loving me day in and day out. Whether the day is stormy or fair, whether I'm sick or in good health, whether I'm in a state of grace or disgrace, he comes to me where I live and loves me as I am. And I believe this little girl kind of got that concept that no matter where I am, God is with me. And as long as God is with me, I'm going to be all right. Maybe the lesson for today is, if you're in a bad situation with folk that you can't deal with, maybe instead of looking at ways of paying them back, maybe you ought to extend a little bit of grace. Maybe you ought to invite them to your church. I like to tell people all the time, because when you get to church, you ain't coming to hear pastor. You're not coming to hear the choir sing, but you're coming to have a real confrontation with the master. a real experience with God who is able to do all things. Yeah, you may not necessarily be healed of your disease, but you will be made whole. Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah, God doesn't always heal us of all of our diseases, but he's still able to give us. His grace is sufficient enough for us to deal with our diseases with a touch of class and a touch of grace. This little girl teaches us that you ain't got to be nasty. That if we're God's people, we ought to model love at all times, despite our circumstances. If I can say it a different way, in other words, grace is able to keep you in those situations. Yeah, I got some folk in here who can honestly testify and say grace has kept me in some situations. You know, when I look back over my life and I wondered how I got over, it was the grace of God that kept me. It was the grace of God that wrapped my tongue up and told me to keep my mouth shut and not say something bad. Grace, it's a simple thing. This young girl, it's a simple thing, but it's a major statement. It's something that you never really see every day. This slave girl, not thinking of herself. Not even thinking of herself, but saying, if you could just get to the prophet. If you just get to the prophet. Now, Naaman overhears. He overhears the conversation. So Naaman goes to the king and says, listen, if I can get back to Samaria, to the prophet, I think I can deal with my butt issue. I think I can deal with my leprosy. Now, once again, we have already established that Naaman's not a believer. But by just a suggestion, it piques his interest. And sometimes I think we ought to live our lives in such a way that folks look at us that it ought to pique their interest to say, you know what, I just want to go follow you and see what's going on in your life. Somebody in here came with somebody, not because you was expecting to get delivered from God, from your sin, but simply because you looked at somebody else's life and said, you know what, I want to be kind of like them. Naaman takes his letter from the king and he presents his letter to the Israelite king. The Israelite king tears his clothes and says, wait a minute, now y'all have already beaten us down. Now you're trying to come and do something that y'all know I can't do? Am I God? Am I able to cure this type of disease? But the prophet gets wind and says, send Naaman my way, so that he will know that there's a prophet in the land. And here's something that really blows me away. Because Naaman, at this point in time, was like a lot of us when we first came to God. Naaman, at this point in time, is a lot of folk in here right now who have not yet made up in their mind to come to God. Naaman has an expectation of what ought to transpire. Every now and then, Pastor Tim, I like to switch up worship service. Sometimes folk will walk through the door and I'll be preaching already. Why? Because they thought we was going to do praise and worship first. Because they thought they already had it figured out. Sometimes we can get comfortable in the routine, thinking that we got God figured out. I know that God moves in praise and worship, so I'll show up at 10:20 to get that part, but I can check out on the sermon. Naaman has an idea. He has an idea of what is supposed to happen. But as soon as he shows up at the prophet's house, God switches and flips the script. Instead of the prophet coming out, the prophet sends his messenger. Naaman gets upset. Who does this prophet think he is? Don't he know who I am? I'm the 5-star general. He should have been happy that I came. They should have rolled out the red carpet for me. I'm a 5-star general. Yeah, but you got leprosy. And sometimes folk walk into church that way. Not to us, but to God. We walk through the doors of the church like, God, I'm here. Service can begin. Service can start now, Lord. Lord, you can do your thing now. Why? Because I walked through the doors. I'm here now. I'm here. Service can begin. And sometimes God says, no. I know you're here, but you got some issues. And so because of your issues, I got to flip the script. And so the message, watch this, don't miss this. The message that you're looking for, your deliverance that you're looking for, may not come from Tim. Your deliverance may be down in children's church where you need to be working. But instead, you say, I can't do that kind of work. I need to hear a word from the Lord. Some of my best messages came from a student Bible. I love reading kids' books. I love reading the kids' Bible. See, sometimes we can't put God in a box. We can't tell God how he's going to act. Because last time I checked, the Bible says he is the creator and we are the creation. He is the potter and we are the clay. My daddy used to say it like this, boy, I'm the daddy, you the son. Ain't it funny sometimes, even in our own churches, sometimes we can get so big that we want to try to tell God what to do. And sometimes God has to sit us down and remind us, no, this ain't your church. This is my church. It belongs to me. It belongs to me. Naaman is upset, first of all, because the messenger comes out. He doesn't get the prophet. But the second reason why he's mad is because he don't like what the messenger had to say. he doesn't like what the messenger had to say. Yeah. Elijah in verse 10, he's sitting in the message saying, listen here, if you want to be healed, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Naaman hears the words. Watch this. He hears the words, but he misses the message. He hears the words, but he misses the message. Because he says, if all it takes is for me to wash in a river, I could have done that at home. I mean, after all, the Jordan ain't nothing but a little creek compared to the rivers in Damascus. I mean, our rivers in Damascus are crystal clear. They're flowing. They're full. They're beautiful to look at. But you want me to go wash in a little creek that's muddy and nasty? Is that really what you want? Naaman had the audacity to get upset. Now, let's put it back in perspective. Let's see if we can put it back in perspective. It's Naaman, y'all stay with me. It's Naaman who needs the healing. It's Naaman who needs the deliverance. It's Naaman who came to the prophet, not the prophet who came to Naaman. Now, you done traveled all these miles just to get to me. And then when I tell you what you ought to do, you got the nerve to get mad at me? Come on, Tim, I need some help. Because I know if it happens in my church, I know it happens in this one. You mean to tell me you got up early on Sunday morning? Put on your clothes. Didn't nobody force you? You walked through these doors and expected to hear how you could be delivered. And then when you heard the message from Pastor Tim, you got the audacity to get mad at the messenger? I ain't got to do all that. I don't have to do all that. Pastor Tim don't know who I am. He keep on. I'm going to withhold my tithes. I ain't scared. You got to realize. See, I grew up in church, so I've heard it all. No, we can't approve Pastor Tim for no raise this week. He didn't preach the message that we wanted him to preach. Can I ask you a question? Last time I checked, God didn't ask you. God didn't tap you on the shoulder and ask you, what did you want Tim to preach? God had a one-on-one. I said, feed my sheep. And sometimes, I don't care if you have to hold them down, force feed it. Naaman is upset. He is indignant because of his undignified resolution. It came in a way that ought not have came. But here's the funny thing about it. Here is this unsolicited advice once again. These insignificant people once again. The Bible says his servants came to him and said, Master, if he would have told you to do something great. don't run past that verse. He says, if he would have told you to do something great, would you not have done it? That goes back to the simplicity of grace. Grace is nothing hard. Oftentimes, it's a simple command. But it's one of the most difficult things that we have to go through. And if you're ever going to receive grace, you better learn how to be humble. See, the problem with Naaman was he forgot that he was a leper. Let me say it again. His problem was he forgot that he was a leper. And oftentimes we forget that we sinners saved by grace. Sometimes we just want to say we saved. Not realizing that there's some sins in our life that we commit without even thinking about. We sinners saved by grace. You're the one with the issue. Don't forget who you are. Oh, come on, somebody. Don't forget who you are. Oh, I'm talking to everybody in leadership. Because sometimes we get a title and we forget who we are. And some of us want titles and we forget who we are. Master, if he asked you to do something great, would you not have done it? But yet he asked you to do these simple things. Here it is. And I'm almost finished. Naaman says, you know what, you're right. Let me swallow my pride. Let me humble myself. Let me ask myself, what do I want more? Do I want to be healed? Or do I want my reputation? Do I want to be healed and made whole? Or do I want to keep what people think about me to be true? Naaman got on off his horse, both physically and metaphorically. He got out off his high horse, went down to the Jordan, and jumped. But here it is. The message was, you need to dip yourself seven times. He doesn't do it just once. But I believe that every time he dipped himself, he came out a little bit better. Every time he went down, his healing was becoming that much more complete. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. Sometimes it takes more than just one touch for your deliverance to be complete. Well, I just went up there last Sunday. Come on, come again. If you know your healing ain't complete, come be dipped another time. Go down until your healing is complete. Seven times he went down. And the Bible said his skin became as smooth as a baby. Now here's the part of grace that we all can relate to. Because after Naaman had been healed, it just wasn't a physical healing. It was a spiritual healing. Something changed with Naaman in the water. Because Naaman had to realize it wasn't the Jordan that had the power. See, it was your obedience that activated God's power. And when you become obedient to the will of God, God is able to do some stuff with you. God is able to change you in ways that nobody else could change. Naaman dips himself. Now, I can imagine, Tim, it doesn't necessarily say it, but I can imagine other lepers, when they heard of Naaman's healing, I can imagine them running to the Jordan thinking that they're going to be healed. But guess what? Their healing necessarily didn't come that way. Why? Because Naaman's healing was tailor-made. His deliverance was tailor-made just for him. Aren't you glad that God is not a cookie-cutter God? Oh, aren't you glad that God is not a cookie-cutter God? That God loves you just, he loves you enough to say, you know what? I got something special just for you. I got something special. I got it tailor-made just for you. Can't nobody get deliverance like this. This is for you. This is yours. This is yours. This is yours. This is yours. So Naaman, at the beginning of chapter 5, is not a believer. But look what happens after he experiences God's grace. Naaman goes back to the prophet's house. Don't miss this. Now he's standing before the prophet. Before, he got the messenger. But now, he's got the prophet. Before, he got the messenger. But now, he has God's appointed one, anointed one, standing in front of him. Before, he just got the messenger. The messenger only represented how bad do you want your healing? Are you willing to accept the word of God from anybody? I like to tell folk all the time, if a crackhead walk up to you and tell you for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that's the gospel regardless whose mouth it comes out of. It's the gospel regardless of whose mouth it comes out of. He stands before the prophet. He says, now I know. Now I know. Now I know that the Lord is the one and true God. Can I take some soil back with me so that when my master is worshiping his God, I'll have something to remind me of my deliverance. Normally, the prophet would say no, but in this particular case, he grants him this wish. He grants him this wish. Now, I'm really done. That's the end of the story. That's the end. That's the end. That's Naaman's story. That's Naaman's story. That was his story. But you ought to be able to find your story in Naaman's story. And if you can't find your story, give me a chance to tell you my story. Because my story was simply this. I was just a little country boy. Thought I had life figured out. Thought I knew everything. Big enough and bad enough to do everything that I wanted to do. Yes, I did. Even though I grew up in daddy's house, daddy's God was not yet my God. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I said? Daddy's God had not yet become my God. Yes, I got baptized at the age of 10, but yet Jesus was still not my Savior yet. But all one Sunday in Vicenza, Italy. Oh, yeah, I remember it like yesterday. The preacher said something, and I jumped up out my seat, ran down to the altar, and said, Lord, I yield, I yield. What must I do to be saved? They took me back to a back room, showed me in the Bible how I could be saved. And at that moment, I cried tears like I never cried before. I cried tears like I never cried before. My issue was I had a sin issue. Yeah, I had a sin issue. I had a sin issue. But here's the thing about grace. Grace erases your sin issue. It doesn't erase the sin. Doesn't erase your propensity to sin. But what grace does is I can't really explain it. But I do know that God is able to take a dark, dark, bloody, black soul, dip it in his red blood, and you'll come out white as snow. I do know that. I don't know how he does it. I just know that God is indeed real. And so if you're here today, I don't know who I'm talking to. If this message has touched your heart, if you have really understood the simplicity of God's grace, all you got to do is step out on faith. Nobody in here is going to laugh at you simply because why? We all had to come the same way. We all had to come the same way. See, if I was in my church, I'd have hollered a little while ago. I'd have hollered a little while ago because there's something about God's grace that begins to move something on the inside of me. When you can look back over your life and say, he picked me up, turned me around. And I don't know about you, but God had to reach way down to pick me up. Oh, he got me out of the muck and the mire. Placed my feet on solid ground. Oh, I love the Lord because he heard my cry. Grace. It's a simple thing. But it's the most powerful word in the dictionary. If you have not received God's grace, let me tell you how you can receive it. Jesus stepped off his throne some 2,000 years ago, wrapped himself in humanity, and he walked this earth. He was born in a town called Bethlehem. Grew up in the ghetto of Nazareth. Walked 70 miles to be baptized in the Jordan. He took the heat out of fever. Unblinded blind eyes. Unclogged deaf ears. turn water into wine, call Lazarus back from the grave. But the greatest part is what happened one Friday out on Calvary. When they lifted him high, stretched him wide. He hung his head, and for me and for you, he died. Put a crown of thorns on his head, pierced his side. And he hung there. He died. He died for your sins and he died for mine. Oh, he could have came down at any time he wanted to. But he said, no, I'm going to complete the work. And he cried out, it's finished. And when he cried out, it's finished, he wasn't letting folks know that he was finished. He wasn't letting folks know that I am done. He was letting sin know that you're done. That the cost had already been paid. They took him down that cross and they put him in a borrowed tomb. And he stayed there Friday night, all day Saturday, but early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. And this power makes us walk right. This power makes us talk right. This power makes us live right. This power makes us love right. He's done the hard part. Now it's up to you. Now it's up to you. If you got an issue that you've been dealing with, why don't you just meet me down here at the altar? Let grace take care of it. Let grace have it. Turn it over to the master. Oh, it's a simple thing. It's a simple thing, but it's one of the most difficult things that you ever have to do. It's to get up off of the pew and walk down the aisle. Simply because Satan don't want you to. He don't want you to be delivered. He wants you to still think about what you did wrong. He wants you to still think about every sin that you have ever committed. But there is no sin greater than the blood of Jesus. It's a simple thing. 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 If you need prayer, come down. You may come. It's a simple thing. It's a simple thing. It's a simple thing. God bless you. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Don't let it pass you by. It's a simple thing. It's a simple thing. Nothing hard about it. Oh, I know how you feel. I used to sit right where you sat, gripping the pew. Saying, God, I wish they would just move on. I just wish he would move on. Please don't look at me.
Wendy handed me this note this morning during worship. As you know, this is a consistent theme, is for the Lord to give Wendy the same sermon in prophetic form that God gives the pastor. And this morning it was R.C. Jeffcoat who was the pastor. This is what Wendy handed me during worship. All I heard this morning, actually the beginning of his sermon, all I heard this morning during worship, right from the start, was grace. God was pouring out, God is pouring out an extra measure today.